scripture for this morning is Proverbs 24:3-4, English Standard Version. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. This is God's holy word. You may be seated.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you, Addison, for doing an amazing, amazing job. If you guys are new here, I'm Jeff. I'm the pastor to kids is my official title, which means that if you have anyone from birth to fifth grade, they hang out with me or I find somebody that will hang out with them. But I usually get sent up to kids worship for most of the time, and I get to come in here every once in a while. And Pastor Jared is off living out the gospel as he goes. He's in Miami today with his boys, and they are doing the soccer thing, and it's a long way to travel for soccer. But if you guys keep him in your prayers as he travels, that's because they are not flying, they're driving, and that is a long drive. So we're finishing our series on our church values, and we're talking about healthy homes today and what that means. And so, like any good dad, I asked my kids, which was probably not the best thing, but I did ask my kids what they thought a healthy home was, and I'm feeling pretty confident that they're going to give me a great answer and a very maybe biblical answer. And they, you know, what better proof that I need the gospel of my home than? It didn't take but about 5 seconds for them to start bickering back and forth and saying, "Well, we're healthy except for Gideon," or "We're healthy except for Liberty," and so they start pointing the finger at each other and saying, "Well, they're sick, and so they're not healthy, and Gideon's got stomach problems, so he's not healthy." So they really kind of took it out of context, but yeah, they really kind of gave me some interesting answers about what it means to have a healthy home. And so what I hope to do is just kind of accomplish that so we can kind of talk through what it means to have a healthy home. What does that look like? What does God's word say about that? So like we read, we're in Proverbs chapter 24. And starting off, really, we want to look at just a breakdown of the words that you see in the next two verses, starting with the word wisdom, because that's probably the biggest word that we're going to hopefully stick with today, or the one that is going to probably be the most prominent, is the one that's kind of the driver for the entire message today. So when we look at wisdom, wisdom's in the Bible over 1,200 times. I mean, it's throughout the Bible. It's something that continuously comes up. It's something that we see a ton of times in Proverbs. I mean, it seems like every other verse in Proverbs has the word wisdom. So how in the world would wisdom start us off for healthy homes? What in the world does that mean? What in the world does wisdom have to do with healthy homes? If you're a seasoned parent, you're probably thinking a lot, actually. But, you know, just a few verses that kind of stick out about wisdom. One of the first ones is Proverbs 3:19. It says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth." And that's an immediate verse, so that's a very important verse. And then we hear Proverbs 1:20, it says that wisdom cries out in the streets. James 1:5 says, "If anyone lacks wisdom." So we're learning pretty quickly that wisdom is a very important thing in the Bible. And when it comes to healthy homes, I started looking up the word wisdom and said, what does the word wisdom truly mean? Like, how can we really attach that to the home? And when I looked it up, the word wisdom, as you could probably imagine, really has to do with making good decisions, making the right decisions, knowing exactly what decision to make at the right time. Has to do with being really, really good at a skill or trade or something that you're really, really good at. I couldn't think of anything for myself, but I thought of other people in the congregation that are really, really skilled at certain things and that they just know how to do it. And so I started thinking yesterday. I was like, well, I was at the varsity yesterday, and I was eating, and I kind of realized that I have a little bit of giftedness for knowing how to navigate the varsity on a game day. I thought maybe that qualifies as wisdom. Maybe I know how to get through the varsity like that. But that's not really what we're talking about when we're talking about wisdom, though. So when it talks about wisdom, it's something that we see over and over and over. But in Proverbs, we know that when we talk about wisdom, one of the first things we read about wisdom is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if we're going to have wisdom in our homes, if that's going to be the driver for what we do in our homes and to keeping them healthy, we know that wisdom begins with fear of the Lord. So I started thinking, what does fear of the Lord mean? Well, if you sit there and think about it, I think like most of us, or most maybe the first time you probably heard it, when I hear fear of the Lord, It's something that my parents, you know, that was something I would be afraid of. Like, I fear my parents. Like, I can still be in a church service and hear my dad clear his throat and know that I better straighten up, because that's how he got my attention from the other side of the congregation when I was a kid, is that he would clear his throat. And even at the age of like 20-something, if he would clear his throat, I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And so he's sitting over here there too, by the way. He used me as a lot of subjects or illustrations in his sermons, so it's payback time. So wisdom for a healthy home, though, fear the Lord. Now, there's a small part of that that does mean that we know what God is capable of, just like with our parents. I mean, just like growing up, you kids, the kids that are in here, they know what their parents are capable of. If they make a bad choice and make the wrong decision, especially you guys up front probably know. But we all know that. So there's a small part of that's what fear of the Lord. They're all looking at each other, by the way. We know what fear of the Lord means. But there's another part of that fear of the Lord, if you really want to understand it, it's really defined as being in awe of God. It's really defined as being in awe of who God is, what he has done, and what he is going to do. So when we think about that in context of the family, one of the first things that we think of, or when I think of fear of the Lord in the family, that means if I'm going to have a healthy home, that means my healthy home has to be in awe of God. Like, our home has to be in awe of God. We have to talk about God. We have to talk about the great things that he's done. We have to talk about his gospel in the home. We have to talk about the many, many things we read in God's word. So for our home to be healthy, for us to have wisdom in the home, we have to be in awe of God. If God is not part of our everyday conversation or our constant conversation, we all know that we talk about many different things in the home. We talk about our sports teams and we talk about different things like that. But if God is not one of those constant conversations in the middle of our home, then I think that we're probably not in awe of God like we should be. And so one of those things is, I know that in the Old Testament, a lot of times the Israelites would get off track because they would start putting other things in their lives that got in the way, whether it be other idols, other people, or just different material things. They would put things in their lives that would pull them away from God, so that God was not as awesome to them anymore. They made room for other things in their life. And I kind of think some of the things that I've been in awe of in my life, and a couple of them, like if you've ever seen like the Golden Gate Bridge, pulling up on that for the first time, driving around the corner, seeing the Golden Gate Bridge, awesome to me. Like, it's one of the things I can remember. Being in Hawaii on Oahu, Lanikai Beach, sand that looks like sugar cookie dough to me, clear water, awesome to me. Sunset in Key West. Has anybody ever seen that? Holy cow, there's not a better sunset than in Key West. My goodness, things that have stood out to being awesome to me. My kids being born, me being married, you know, getting married. Those things are awesome to me. But there's nothing that really compares to God's gospel. There's nothing compares in my life as far as being awesome. There's nothing that comes close to when I was younger and I began to see that God was opening my eyes to see his gospel for the first time. And that's where the awesomeness began. And I fear that if we don't see God as awesome in our homes, they will not be healthy. So in order for our homes to be healthy, we must see God as awesome. And if we can't think of anything, we're going, well, how do we see God as awesome? Just like the Israelites did. And what they would always be challenged to do is, when they would forget their way, they were challenged to remember the things that God had done in our life. So if there's a lack of awesomeness in your home for God, that's the point where you need to be sure. You need to know, you need to have those conversations in your home that really show the awesomeness of God. Talk to your family. Sit around and talk about the amazing things that God has done. And so, let's see. One thing to think about is, when you're with your family, one of the things that makes it healthy is that your view of Christ has a direct effect on how you view your family. So your view of God and what you think of him and what you see him as in your life will have a direct effect on your family. Your silence speaks. So if you're not talking about God, if I'm not talking about God in my home, there's a really good chance that my kids, except for being at church, don't think I know him or won't think I know him. One of the things that about the word wisdom is when I said it has to be a mastery, a trade, something that you're really, really skilled at. One of the things that comes to my mind is that oftentimes in parenting, I know for me, I know for a lot of you, is that in parenting, we spend a lot of time managing behavior and a lot of time watching how our kids grow up. And we want them to be good and we want them to make good decisions and we want them to grow up and be successful. But I think if we really look at it, the only thing that we need to really master as parents is being masters of sharing the gospel in our home. Our kids need to hear about that Savior that came to earth. They need to hear about Jesus dying on the cross over and over and over again. They need to hear about being rescued from their sin. They need to hear about God's grace in their life. They need to hear that they've been given God's grace. That we've been shown mercy. They need to know that they don't deserve it. That none of us do. But our families need to hear that. The second word that we kind of come up to in this verse, it says, by wisdom a house is built. Now, when we're talking about house, like you really get the idea that something is being put together, like this is kind of a construction type of term, but it has kind of a broader meaning. One of the broader meanings for the word house is it's an extension. So when it talks about a house, it's not just talking about your immediate family. It's actually talking about what in those days when they were talking about houses typically meant an extension of that family. So like grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and people that would live within kind of your inner circle. Maybe people that you had influence over. Sometimes it meant this, like the servants that were living in their home and things like that. And so when I think about that and I hear that word house and I think about just how far that reaches, one of the things that comes to me is that that our influence, because it's extended, we need each other. We need each other. This means that everybody plays a part in making their home healthy. That means the husbands play a part. Just like we see in Ephesians 5, husbands play a serious part in making their homes healthy. Same with wives. See that in Ephesians 5. We see that wives play a major part. Kids, if you can hear me, give me two thumbs up right now. Awesome. Yeah, they can hear me. Awesome teenagers. Yeah. Kids, you guys play a part in making your home a healthy one. All of us play a part. And what I don't want to get away from and what I don't want to get past is the fact that this is not just your immediate family. Grandparents, if you're a grandparent in here and you have grandkids, you guys play a part. And aunts and uncles and cousins, you guys all play a part. And what's awesome is that this church family, you guys help play a part in helping each other. We need each other to help each other have healthy homes. We need each other and to learn from each other. I need to learn from you guys. Surely I do. But we need each other to know how to keep our homes healthy, to help them grow. And so we all play that part. One of the things that you kind of heard Hector talk about, and Jenny did too, is Family First Sunday. We've spent a few years doing Family First Sunday, and it's mostly involved our children, which is great. You know, they're all my favorites. But what we want to make sure that our church family knows is that we talk of Family First Sunday, we are not just talking about having the kids in here, and that's what that means. Oh, the kids are joining us for worship. Yes, that is a huge part of it, because as Hector said, we want them to feel welcome in our services. We want them to grow up and feel part of the church body. But when we talk about Family First Sunday, some of the things you are going to see is just like what happened today. You're going to hear different testimonies from different people that are involved in the same kind of life stage you are. So whether you're a single parent, or whether you're a grandparent, or whether you're dating, or whether you're a teenager, you are going to start to hear that we as a church, we value healthy homes. And if we value healthy homes, that means we value everybody's home, not just the ones with kids. So whatever stage of life you're in, you're going to see us really try to make sure that we repurpose that. So we as a church family understand that the value of healthy homes, it involves us all. So when we talk about our house, it's our home. That's all of us. I need you. You need us. We want to partner together. So moving on. So when you think about those two things together, you think about wisdom that comes only from God. And you think about needing each other. That's really a great basis for a healthy home. Moving to the next line, you got a word that kind of stands out as something that sounds similar to wisdom, but understanding. It kind of has its own side meaning and has a different kind of connotation in this verse, where understanding really means to be discerning or have insight on something. And we know that because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what gives us that discerning spirit, that insight into different things. And you think, well, what does that have to do with the home? It has everything to do with the home. Because we need to know how to lead a home, a healthy home, as one that's godly. And we need to know what things are not godly. We need that discernment. We need that help from the Holy Spirit that shows us what is holy and what is not. It's very easy for things to infiltrate your home and get into your lives, and you kind of look at it and go, how in the world did that ever happen? It happens a lot. I've heard many, many stories from some of you that talk about some of the things that you're experiencing in your home that just kind of come out of nowhere, and you can't even really go back. Well, that's what that means, that understanding that gives you that discerning spirit from the that discernment from the Holy Spirit that helps us understand and know the right things to have in our home to keep them healthy. A couple of verses that I think really go well with this is one is 2 Timothy 4:2-4, where it basically talks about preach the word, be ready, time is coming, and that talks about when sound doctrine is going to go by the wayside. But that's the kind of homes we want. We want our homes to be ready for when those things come, because when we send our kids out to the world or when you go out to the workplace or whatever it is, you are going to be attacked, or you are going to be hearing things that go against your beliefs. And if you're not, holy cow, you need to get out there. But I know that our teenagers and our kids, they're going, when they go into different places in school, they sit by people every day that have no idea who God is. And they sit by people every day that challenge their faith. And they need to be ready. In order to have a healthy home, the wisdom that God gives us, we need to make sure that we are training them and we are encouraging them and teaching them what they need for a healthy home. Another one is 1 Peter 3:15. This says, where it basically talks about being ready to make a defense. It's our verse that we always talk about with apologetics. It's where we basically are ready to give a defense. Again, it talks about we need to prepare the people in our home. We need to study God's word. We need to be in his word. We need to be spending time together in God's word as a family so that we are preparing them for when they go out into the world. Now, one of the words in here, the next word that we come to in verse 3, it says, and by understanding it is established. And by established, we know what established kind of points to. It's always a foundation. And so what are those things that are foundational to you in your family? What are those things that are foundational to you? Some of those things, I know for my family, some of those things obviously are the easy answers. I mean, God's word is there. Time and prayer, those are things that are foundational for us. We don't allow bad coffee in our home. We only the best for us. That's a family value. But what are those things? What are those things in your life that are foundational for your family, for your home? What kind of things are foundational for you? If you've never done it before, a great family exercise or a great home exercise, no matter who you are, is to sit down and write down your family values. Because as we're going through church values, and that's an interesting thing, and that's what we are as a church, what's awesome is when you actually can sit down with your family and go, what are our family values? What do we truly believe in? What are the things that are convictional for us? What are the things that we must have? What are the things that we believe in so strongly that nothing can break? Nothing can break that. It's foundational. It's solid. So those of you parents that have the bulletin with you, that have the kids' bulletin with you, that's your assignment this week. It's on the back. Whether or not you guys ever use those, but the weekly family assignment is for you guys to sit down, talk about wisdom, and then write down family values. Write down those things that in your family, in your home, are convictional, the things that keep your family healthy. All right. One of the things, too, though, and talking along the same lines as the kids' bulletin, one of the things that we love to do, probably me a lot, and I know Jared does a lot. He always brings up a stack of books and says, if you're going to go through this book or if you're going to learn about this particular subject, here are the best resources. And one of the things we'd love to do as a staff, as pastors, as elders, we're resource hounds. I mean, we love to look up the best resources. We do not want to hand anything over to you that's not going to speak to our church values. So honestly, we spend a lot of time going through the best resources, the best family resources. We want to make sure that we hand things over to you that you truly can use, that aren't wasteful, that you read through and go, oh, my kid's not going to like that, or oh, that's too fluffy. We want to make sure that we're always putting the best things in your hands because we believe that those things can help you understand God's word, but they can be contributors to making sure that your home is healthy. We want to put things in your hands because we want you to build repetition. We want you to have repetition in the home where you guys are meeting together and going through God's word together. You know, and as difficult as that is sometimes, especially with a four-year-old, who gets very bored very quickly. But those are the things that we want to put in your hands because we want to equip you. And then we want to partner alongside of you and to see if some of those resources are the best. And so that's what we strive to do as a church. That's what we strive to do as a staff. So the next word we come to is knowledge. Now, knowledge is a very, very important word because it applies to all of us in the home. But honestly, I think it really applies a lot to us as parents. If you have parents of kids, of young kids, of teenagers, knowledge is so important because it's knowledge of Christ. It's knowledge of what you should know or who you should know. It's knowledge of basically in the sense of having a relationship. It's that type of knowledge. So it's not just knowing about it. I mean, I could sit there and I could tell you about 10 different facts of somebody named Michael Jeffrey Jordan because I know facts about him. But what this is talking about is a different type of knowledge. It's a knowledge that means something relational. It's something that you're intimate with, someone you're intimate with, somebody that you spend time with. And that's really what that means. A good quote that always comes to mind when I think about this, about having a knowledge and a relationship with Christ, is from Charles Spurgeon, where he says, "Train up a child in the way you should go, but make sure, be sure you go that way yourself." And that's always a great convictional reminder that we as parents need to make sure that we believe the same things that we're expecting from our kids, or we believe the same things we're expecting from our teenagers. We need to have that personal relationship with Christ. We need to make sure that we're sharing the gospel with them. We need to make sure that we're living out the gospel, that our kids see that, the people in our homes see that. So when we talk about wisdom, we know that's from God, only from God, only the wisdom that God can bring. It's not anything that we do. It's not any skill that we have. It's a skill granted to us from God. We know that we are a house. We need to make sure that we are all in this together, that we know that we're all in this together. And that's the way that a healthy home is built. And the inside, when we have that healthy home, we need to make sure that we are spending time with God, that there's an understanding and a relationship that's a growing relationship, because we know if we understand, it will be strong, it will be impactful, it will be solid, it will be unshakable. And we know that we have knowledge of Christ, that we are growing in our relationship with him, that we are continuously spending time in his word and in prayer so that we are growing closer to him. We see that. And the last part it talks about is that if you do all of these things, by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, you could look at that pretty easily and just say, so if I basically follow God's wisdom and I talk about him in the home, that he's going to grant me pleasant and precious riches. Is that what you guys kind of feel like the formula is? If you just listen to God and use his wisdom, he's going to give you all the money in the world. Is that it? No. Pleasant and precious riches doesn't mean like material things. It doesn't mean things like status or anything like that that we may seek out of our own. What it truly means is the precious and pleasant riches have everything to do with the word knowledge that's before. The riches that we gain are not from something that we can just earn. It's something that we can't earn. The riches that we have, the riches that we can see, come from the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Knowing Jesus and growing closer to him, those are those riches. Speaking of his mercy and of his grace and the things that he has done, the things that we can talk about and share with. Now, I read some of this and I kind of go back and look at this as a family and I go, you know, it looks like a pretty simple formula. Like if I just do this and do this, then God's going to... And we know that's not the case. We know that there's still struggles in the home. We know that times are not always easy. We know that there are difficulties in life. And we know that things aren't perfect. Like, I wish that I could read this and go, man, if I just did this, then my kids would turn out perfectly. And I know that's not the case. We know that's not the case because of sin. We know that's not the case because we are broken. As much as I strive to be like a really, really good father, I know that I can't. I can't without the strength of God. I can't without, knowing that humbling myself and him being in my life, I know that I can't do it by myself. I know that there's no hope if it's left up to me. There's absolutely no hope of my family or my home being a healthy one if it's left up to me. And we know that things aren't perfect, and that's because of sin, but we know that the gospel doesn't hold back. We know that there's always mercy and there's always grace, and I know that as a father, as someone who strives to have a healthy home, we know that the gospel is never ending. Like, I can always appeal. I know that I can always trust in the fact that there will be people that let me down, and I may mess up, but nothing changes about God. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And that doesn't end. And even though I may look at life and there may be hard times that I look at and I go, I'm not sure how I'm going to get past this, I can always look to my future hope because I know the promises of what Jesus has promised. I know that as we learned in the kids' ministry for the last month or so going through Revelation, is that our hope is not in today. It's in the future. So when we think about healthy homes, one of the best things that we can teach our kids is that hard times may come. Difficulties may come. Things that we can't answer may come. But we know one thing's for certain is that God will not forsake us. He will never leave us. Our hope is in the future. There is mercy. There is grace. So when I think about a healthy home, those are the things that come to mind. Those are the things I think about. So let's pray. Father, we're grateful to you, and we're grateful for the many blessings in our life and how you've loved us, even though we don't deserve it, how you've taken care of us, even though we don't deserve it. And we are just grateful to you that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Things may let us down, but you will never leave us. And so I pray, Lord, that we strive for a healthy home. I pray that we know that that's not possible without you. So as we continue our worship today, I just pray that you be with us this week. May we as families go home and challenge ourselves to strive for healthiness, strive to focus and put you in the middle and as the center of everything that we do. I pray that we strive to talk about you and share about you and brag on you and talk about the many, many things you've done for us, Lord, and the many, many things you've done, period. It's all these things I ask. In Jesus' name, amen.